Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, the second chapter, page 863 in your Bibles. And here we see another side of Jesus, which is Jesus being angry and expressing his frustration at what has been going on in the temple. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God beyond answers, Lord beyond words, Spirit beyond imagining, move in us today. Approaching the house on a mission, he moves from room to room, a table over here overflowing with stuff, and then an alcove over there, all the same, more stuff. It's too much. And so he turns his attention to the table at hand, and with undistractable focus, he picks up the alabaster bowl and asks, "Does this spark joy?" That's not what Jesus said, but that's what Marie Kondo says we should say as we move through our houses, decluttering and tidying up. Maybe you've heard of this. It's called the KonMari method of decluttering our homes. Marie Kondo burst on the scene in October of 2014 with her best-selling book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. Wow. The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing. It suggests that if we can get to the heart of our own hearts, of why we hold on to things until our houses are overflowing and crowded, we can not only declutter our homes, but we can also have our lives changed. Well, that's quite a claim. Our house in Maynard is as cluttered as the next. There's my desk overflowing in the corner of papers, theater playbills, drawings and stories that Sophia has written through the years that are worth saving. Piles about that high, covers the desk. Then there are the shelves by Mike's desk, which are bulging with boxes of discs from software that he's been installing through the years and catalogs for airplane parts and building materials. Then there's Sophia's dresser in her room, covered with mementos from travels and birthday parties, jewelry, gifts, and purchases. Both Mike and Sophia were away over February break, and I had every intention of getting to that pile on my desk. But after getting through the piles that were on the piano, and the piles that were next to my desk, and the piles that were on Sophia's desk, I felt quite accomplished, and I thought I had done a lot and made some real progress, but the house didn't look changed that much, and so I gave up. We could use a little KonMari at our place, keeping only what sparks joy. And here at church too, if you've been in my office, you've seen the messy corner by my bookshelves. where not just stuff, but boxes of stuff piles up. From time to time, I'll make some progress sorting it out and putting things away or throwing things away, but it never fully disappears. And Tom is constantly managing and moving the church's stuff around. Some of you from time to time will let us know what you think of the cluttered coat closet downstairs. All the stuff that was in the women's bathroom cupboard got put on the shelf there when we redid the bathroom a year ago, and it never got put back, so there it sits. And then there's the corner in the parlor where we have a table with a really long tablecloth so that we can push boxes underneath it and nobody sees them. And even up here, the last row where behind where the men sit, that's just a pile up of stuff. We could use a little Conmarie around here as well. And maybe that's what Jesus was doing that day when he visited the temple in Jerusalem, the very place where God could be found. The Holy of Holies is what they called it. Jews would make pilgrimages for weeks before the holy festivals that required sacrifices for atonement for their sins and to relieve their guilt. But when Jesus arrived, he was about more than cleaning off the surfaces. This is no ordinary house cleaning. It's Conmarie with Jesus' own spin, because Jesus wants more for us than a spark of joy or nostalgia when we hold a tattered hymnal or see a figurine that's been on the shelf ever since we can remember. Jesus goes beyond the joy to the heart of our joy, which are hearts which are focused on him, decluttered from all that piles up to distract and obscure him, stuff that can even replace him, both in our lives and in our church. Truth be told, we could all use a little Conmarie with Jesus thrown in, a little cleaning out of the junk that gets in the way of God. With Marie Kondo focus, he spots the stuff that we call good and calls it for what it is, an idol, perhaps. We all have our temples, our holy ground, places where God has met us, good and wonderful places and events. This room is a temple. Just think of all the wonderful things that have happened here. Baptisms, confirmations, weddings, funerals, Eagle courts of honor, all these things that have happened with our loved ones around us in this place. And there are other rooms in this church where we hold memories of relationships, meaningful in their significance and unforgettable. And Jesus visits this house and sees the good that happens here. After all, he promises to be with us when we gather, right? And that Jesus is with us is what actually makes this place holy. He has been right close since 1826, hearing the prayers, warming the hearts through the prayer shawls that are knitted, feeding people through our sandwich runs, teaching our children through the Sunday school teachers, encouraging folks through the flowers that are delivered every Sunday, changing lives in all sorts of ways. But he knows about the other stuff too. He smells the musty odor that comes from windows shut to fresh experiences. He sees when our faith has faded, held, or stuck in times long past. Holy places in our hearts that were once roomy and spacious and inviting can become cluttered with other stuff. And Jesus sees where our ambition and our desires become misdirected, and when we put mirrors everywhere so we can serve ourselves to feel better about ourselves. Like the dove cellars we first hauled in to make this place be holy, but now it's clutter that gets in the way of holy things. We mean well, but the truth is that not all of our stuff or the stuff of our hearts serves God's purposes. Is there something here at church where if we changed it, or moved it, or reupholstered it, or painted it, would just be too much for you? Well, if so, then that thing has become an idol and is cluttering what is holy about it and has gotten in the way of the mission and purpose of the church. And that's a matter of our hearts. Simply put, idolatry is some of our stuff cluttering holy ground. Idolatry is caring more about the thing than what it is for or what it symbolizes. And we are no less prone to this than the men and women who were with Jesus, who heard his voice, who saw his mighty acts, and could scarcely see their spiritual hands in front of their faces. Which is why we need Jesus. Whip in hand and fire in his eyes, he comes to our temples, all of them, and cries, "Get these things out of here." And this is not an easy thing to hear because we have spent years and worked hard on these temples. Well, when Jesus said this, about all his enemies could think of to say was, "Well then, show us a sign." And he gave them one, but not what they were wanting to hear. "Destroy this temple," he said, "and I will raise it up again in 3 days." Well, obviously, Jesus was not referring to the physical temple, even though more than once he had predicted that it would fall, and like all temples, it did. But what he was really meaning was his own body, his own death and resurrection. "You destroy me," he says, "and I will rise up." What if our temple, the shrine we build on our holy ground, is Jesus himself? What if our buildings and traditions, all of it, is really a person who was raised from the dead? What if our faith, our experiences, our life itself is given a new shape daily as we rise up? What if our church is being made new all the time? Because in the decluttering of our lives and our church, when we ask Jesus, "Well then, what is necessary?" his answer is simple and clear. "I am." That's it. That's all we or any church need. The Jews thought they needed to make animal sacrifices to receive God's forgiveness. That's why they were all going to the temple. But then Jesus says, "No, I will do it for you. You don't need all this. All you need is me." All the temples we build over holy ground are doomed to die. But Jesus is in the business of resurrection, and he delights in raising the dead and freeing people from the grave clothes of cluttered temples, even the cluttered temples of our hearts. What Jesus was saying sounded heretical, and eventually it got him killed. And you may think it is still heretical for me to say this also, but we do not need the temple at all. Why? Because Jesus' body, his physical incarnation of coming to earth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, all that was sufficient and is sufficient to bring God's grace and mercy to the world and to our lives. Jesus is the one who introduces us to the parental heart of God, the one who makes the unknowable God knowable and approachable, then, ever since, and still today. What is your temple, your holiest ground, your sacred place? Is it in some way this church? And are the doors still open for the fresh breezes of the risen one? What about the temple of your heart? Keep checking those doors to make sure that they are still open. because that's the temple that Jesus really came for. And he comes again and again, cleaning house and converting our temples from graveyards to places of resurrection. And it does a lot more than spark joy. It changes our lives. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.